General perception in Pakistan is that TTP, Pakistani Taliban, are created by Afghanistan and India to get back at Pakistan and have nothing to do with Afghan Taliban. TTP's leader is hiding in Afghanistan with the help of Afghan intelligence. India has been caught funding TTP many times. If you remember, US forces also captured TTP's second-in-command when he was meeting Afghan intelligence officials near Kabul last year. It's Pakistan's ISI who created the Taliban and funded them through USA against Soviet in Afghanistan. And now the same Taliban are fighting with the army. Please tell me who made Spiah-e-Sahaba and Lashkar-e-Jangvi. It's Pakistan's ISI who made terrorist organizations in Pakistan against Shias, like Sipah-e-Sahaba terrorist organization. Before operation, Pakistan Army has transferred important Taliban commander and Taliban to Parachina, and the people dying in Waziristan are innocent people. Pakistan Army is one of the best army in the world. This operation is just a matter of 2 weeks and everything will be back to normal again, inshallah. The only reason for all these fighting is the intervention of international army forces. We all know that they come for one reason, and that is not peacekeeping, but the wealth that Pakistan has. This war isn't Pakistani war, but American war, for the purpose to provide safe passage for NATO forces to leave Afghanistan.
Some of the views expressed there on our Facebook page in the comments section. I'll go quickly to Mr. Qureshi in London. Now, Mr. Qureshi, in those comments, we heard accusations against Afghanistan, India, Pakistan's ISI, and the United States. Who would you blame for the creation of this problem? Who would you hold responsible?
Well, I think it's a very good question. The international players have used Pakistan as a battleground. And since 1979 Soviet invasion, Pakistan has been a victim of the international conspiracies, whether in terms of the international war against the Soviets and then the war against the terror. We have about 3 million refugees living in Pakistan from Afghanistan. Now we have about 5 million internally displaced people as a result of this international intervention in Afghanistan. So Pakistan has been suffering for the last 35 years or more due to the policy adopted by the West and with the help of some treacherous elements in Pakistan who let that happen and continuously allowing this happen, that the people of Pakistan are suffering. I mean, there's no one to stand up and say that enough is enough. We have nothing to do with this war in Afghanistan. There was not a single person from 9/11 attacks was from Afghanistan or from Pakistan. Why Pakistan and Afghanistan and other countries are suffering of this terrorist incident happened, which we don't know who is actually responsible for it. We don't have a clarity about it. With regards to the sectarian conflict within Pakistan, it is very important that that should be intellectually and discussed and agreed that what are the factors which the enemies of both Shias and Sunnis are using and playing it against each other. And it can't be left to the mullahs of both sides to debate and to decide the narrative. And I think it is very important for countries like Iran and Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and other countries to sit down and straighten through the historical narrative. Yes. So we can have a peace in the region, that the Shias and Sunnis don't have any problem for more than 1400 years, and all of a sudden in 1985, you know, they started having all these problems. So somebody to sit down, and not the mullahs, it's an intellectual discourse must happen, and these historical narratives should be straightened up, ironed out, and people should be told what is the way forward. Because either side fighting with each other is the loss of the same body. This is how I see it, and this is how many people see it.
Well, let's go to Mr. Khan on this. Now, Mr. Khan, again, in those comments, if you were listening, a lot of fingers pointed at the United States. We were mentioning that earlier. Now, some analysts are saying that trying to distinguish in the region, not just in Pakistan, but also in Iraq, in Syria, elsewhere, between moderate fighters and extremist fighters, the good Taliban, the bad Taliban, etc. This is what's creating the problem, because it's giving the excuse, they say, to the United States or its allies to, you know, give these groups funds, give these groups arms, and that's creating more chaos and unrest. Do you agree with that view?
Well, I think war is a very complex thing, and when you're fighting a war, then you don't divide the battlefield into black and white. You see the gray area, and therefore, if within the enemy group somebody can help you, you seek their help. So I think the distinction between good enemy and bad enemy, or good Taliban and bad Taliban, from a logistical viewpoint, from an operational viewpoint, that distinction might be useful. But at the level of principle, it seems like the issues are very different. At the level of the principle, the first question is, should the Pakistani armed forces invade its own people? And should it choose a policy under which many hundreds of thousands of people are displaced from their homes? And I think what bothers me is that Pakistanis never think that people living in Waziristan are actually Pakistanis. It is unlikely that Pakistan's civilian or military governments would ever allow this many people to be displaced in Sindh or in Punjab or in any other province. It seems like the people living in Waziristan are the foreign nation. It seems like the foreign people. And therefore, it is so much easier, if you define them as foreign people, to invade them and to tolerate their displacement from their homes.
Well, Mr. Khan, how do you think the government should be treating this problem then, the problem of the militants?
I think I am a great believer in negotiations.
But hasn't the government been negotiating for months now? I mean, the reason for this was the Karachi attack. They said that these talks are getting nowhere. So they're saying that that has left them with no option but to go to war.
That's true. I think just like war, negotiations are never linear and they're never easy. I mean, I think we tend to expect that war is difficult, but negotiations should be easy. I think negotiations can be very difficult. And just like there are setbacks in a battlefield, similarly, there are setbacks in negotiations. So if the negotiations fail temporarily or they stall, that doesn't mean you go to war. You keep on negotiating. You keep on engaging the people, just like you keep on engaging the enemy in the battlefield, even though you have lost a battle. So it seems like the nations get very frustrated and very easily frustrated if the negotiations don't promptly produce some result. Of course, the Taliban were not negotiating perhaps in good faith. Neither was the Pakistani civilian government. But that is part of the negotiation. Yes. So once you say we're going to negotiate, setbacks are part of the negotiation.
Well, we are quickly running out of time. Mr. Ghureshi, I'd leave the last comments to you, and quickly, if you can, in less than a minute. First of all, tell us if you agree that the government is not treating the people in North Waziristan as it should, considering the refugee crisis there, and whether there is still hope for the negotiated settlement.
Well, I think one should understand the Taliban in this area are some 45 different types of groups. And there has been a good people, pro-Pakistan people, who have been and the criminals and the drug dealers involved in these groups. So one should differentiate between these two type of people. With regard to the Fatah is 1.5% of Pakistan, and it is very important to filter out these terrorists and criminals out of Pakistan to have a peace in the whole of the region. So it is very important. And use of legitimate military force when the nation is standing behind the armed forces is very, very important. And on this occasion, Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif is standing behind his armed forces, and so is the whole nation. So as far as the refugee issue is concerned, they are internally settling down with their families. We have been hosting 3 million Afghan refugees. Pakistan is the highest number of refugee hosting countries, according to UNHCR report last week. We are suffering from the international interventions in our region. Yes. We are paying the price of the international interventions in Afghanistan and other areas. And Pakistan is a victim of the international conspiracies, and Pakistan needs full assistance in terms of sorting out these problems. Pakistan needs not to be blamed of the whole problems the whole world is facing. But is the whole thing is the other way around. The Pakistan has been suffering the economy, the people, the human losses, the children, women, all yes. sufferings because of the policies adopted by the United States and its allies in Afghanistan.
Thank you
and
very
that
much.
That needs to be clearly understood.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid that's all the time we have. A big thank you to our guest in London, Mr. Shahid Qureshi, journalist and political analyst, and a thank you to our guest in the United States, Professor of Law with Washburn University, Mr. Liaghat Ali Khan in Topeka, Kansas. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us here on The Debate. From Miho Maleski, it's goodbye.